Not all that glitters is gold. That's a proverb, not from the book of Proverbs in the Bible, but it's an English proverb that suggests to us that just because something sparkles and glistens doesn't necessarily mean that it's valuable. That statement, in a sense, sums up the fifth chapter of the book of Proverbs. It's a chapter which deals with temptation, the temptation to pursue something that promises much but delivers little. Or perhaps it would be more accurate to say it promises a positive experience but rather provides a negative one. It holds out the promise of fulfillment, of excitement, of adventure, but it actually provides imprisonment, enslavement, regret. The writer of Proverbs in this fifth chapter particularly is dealing with the subject of adultery, sexual promiscuity, deviation from the appropriate and legal way of satisfaction that God has provided in nature and in his word. This section of the Proverbs, this particular chapter, can be divided really into four sections. The first, from verse 1 to verse 6, is a call to discernment, as we have observed in these more lengthy discourses found in the first 9 chapters of the book. It is often a wise parent who is addressing his or her son. And this is the case here in this fifth chapter. "My son," this wise parent says, "be attentive to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding." He says that in doing so, his son will pursue a path of discernment, of discretion, a path of knowledge. These words all being synonymous with wisdom, which is the right, the good way, as opposed to the way of folly, the way of simpletons, of the ignorant and unwise. Here the father is specifically telling his son that it is his own wisdom he is to follow. Now we're not to then see in these words something distinct from the earlier chapters. This is all the wisdom of God. But what the father is saying is, be attentive to me. Listen to my words. Listen to my instruction. Listen to my knowledge, my understanding, which has stood the test of time and has been refined in the furnace of experience. Listen to me, because there are other voices. Seductions, temptations, allurements that would seek to distract you from the way that I would have you walk, the way of wisdom, the way of uprightness. They'll tempt you into their own ways. For the lips, he says, of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. Everything seems to be sweet. Everything seems to work smoothly. All that this woman holds out, the promises that she makes, are so full of allurement. She will drag you in, my son. She will take your mind and ensnare it. She will take your heart and imprison it. For, in the end, as sweet as those words that drip from her tongue may be, they are like wormwood. There's a bitter taste to them. Indeed, the commentators suggest that the Hebrew word used here is indicative not only of a bitter tasting plant, but a poisonous plant. That one that will actually leave you not feeling the vigor of life, but entering into death. Well, he goes on to say that, doesn't he? Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She doesn't ponder the path of life. She doesn't think about the way of life, of true life, of rich life, of meaningful life, of purposeful life, of holy life, of upright life, of God-honoring life. She doesn't ponder any of that. Her ways wander and meander all over the place, and she's ignorant to it all. But she would take you with her, the wise father says. She will ensnare you in the way she is going, and she will drag you down to death. And she would have you plunge into the pit of the grave alongside her. My son, be discerning. Be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. Tune in to words of wisdom rather than words of folly. And so, as we have so often seen in these discourses, here is the call of the Father to the Son to pay careful attention to his words. Then in the next section, verses 7 through 14, he particularly presents a warning that in effect says, my son, if you yield to temptation, ye yield at your own peril. Now, O sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her. Don't even go near to the door of her house. You need to stay as far away from this alluring woman, from this temptress, whose words drip honey, whose speech is smoother than oil. If you need to, the father is saying, cross the street from her house. Better still, don't go down that road at all. Take a different route. If it takes you twice as far, it's a safer route than the more direct one that would pass her house. In other words, what the father is saying is this: avoid every instance of temptation. Don't go near it. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Turn off the TV. Turn away from the video store. If that is the point at which you are tempted into this society that promises so much, but what does it do? Well, if you go to her, if you enter the door of her house, you will give your honour to others and your years to the merciless. Strangers will take their fill of your strength, and your labours will go to the house of the foreigner. They will sap all the strength from you, and perhaps all the riches from you. You see it over and over and over again when men and women enter into adulterous relationships. It takes everything that they've got. They work to keep their secrets from their marriage partner. And it takes the joy from their life. When eventually they're found out, they lose so much of their possessions through the settlement of the courts. But more than that even, at the end of your life you groan. Your flesh and your body are consumed. You've given yourself over to this woman and to her relatives and to all that she means. And it saps you of strength, it saps you of life, it saps you of honour and respect. And you end up with a bitter heart, and you despise even yourself. You say, how I hated discipline. My heart despised reproof. I didn't listen to the voice of my teachers. I didn't incline my ear to instructors. And now I'm on the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. People look at me now, and I know what they're thinking. Oh, you foolish man. What ruin you have brought upon yourself. So utterly pointless for a moment's pleasure. You have, as it were, sold your soul to the devil. Given your life to chains of bondage that will last for eternity. Your life wasted. Your mind plagued with regrets. Full of shame and humiliation. This, the father says to his wife, to his son, this is the way of the adulterous woman. Don't go near her door. Cross the street, go down a different road. Avoid her house altogether. Protect yourself from any temptation that would draw you into those paths of ruin. But in the third section of his discourse, the wise father presents his son with the best solution to this danger that he faces. He basically tells his son, find satisfaction with your own wife. Find fulfillment in your own marriage bed. Be happy and satisfied in your own covenant of love. Drink from your own cistern, he says. Flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? What a vivid picture that is of those who sleep around. That's what he's saying. This is what he's getting at. Let them be for yourself alone. Not for strangers. Let love be consummated with that one person that you've entered into covenant with. And there you will find blessing. There you will find happiness. There you will find fulfillment. Your fountain will be blessed, he says, when you rejoice in the wife of your youth. It's an echo, isn't it, of those twin Psalms, 127 and 128. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Or Psalm 128, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. See, this isn't a promiscuous man. This isn't a man who lets his water flow in the streets. This is a man who stays home, who satisfies himself with his own wife, and finds his happiness in that single relationship of love. And so the writer of Proverbs uses his most graphic language to tell his son to be intoxicated with love for his own wife. And not to drink of the love of another woman. To embrace an adulteress. That which in the right context is pure and sweet and lovely and honourable and to be praised, in another context becomes something that is vile and ugly and sordid, to be kept secret, to be entered into in the darkness of the night, always looking over the shoulder, wondering who sees. Which leads us into the final section. Who does see? A man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord. He ponders all his paths. The Lord knows. You can keep it secret, perhaps, from your wife. You can keep it secret from your children. You can keep it secret from your colleagues and your friends and your neighbours, perhaps. But you won't keep it secret from the Lord, from the living God. And you won't keep it a secret from your own conscience. And all these iniquities then will become an ensnarement. They will become cords, chains that hold you fast in sin. And for the simple lack of care, the simple lack of self-discipline, you're led astray and brought under the condemnation of the living God. Of course, while this wise parent is speaking to his son in these graphic terms, the application is for all, isn't it? Man or woman. The same applies. Here in the context in which he is writing, he is specifically addressing a son, but he could easily address a daughter as well. Furthermore, this isn't a word simply and only for those who are married, but there is application here for the single as well. For whether married or single, these adulterous relationships, these adventures in fornication are to be avoided at all costs. For whoever you are and whatever your status, the end is the same. She is going to death. Her steps are going to Sheol, and she will take you with her. And so, as we observed last week, we must guard our hearts. We must set our minds on those things which are wholesome and pure. And indeed, Paul, talking to the Christians in Corinth, says in a time of severe persecution, when it would be better not to have the cares of marriage, if you still burn, better to marry, he says. If this is an issue of temptation for you, then find satisfaction in the way that God has provided satisfaction, not in any other way. Be disciplined. And with God's help, satisfy your cravings with a pure, right, just, honourable relationship. God is watching you. And he has provided and planned marriage as a good thing. Nothing dirty about it. Nothing sordid. But those who understand the language that the writer of Proverbs is using here and uses also even more graphically in the Song of Solomon. We read these things and we see the beauty of them all in their right and proper place. God has made us to be sensual, sexual beings. And it's good and it's right in its proper context. The call of the wise father to his son is to avoid the wrong context at all costs. But ultimately, of course, we are to be directed beyond the purely physical to the spiritual as well. We've commented a number of times that the book of Proverbs is a deeply theological book. It has to do with God and our relationship with God. And indeed, the whole picture of marriage is symbolic of the relationship between believers and their Saviour. Between those who trust in Jesus Christ and that great bridegroom of the church. And in a sense then, we are being warned here in these warnings, not only in terms of our relationship to our wives or our husbands, but the relationship that we have with Christ. The people of Israel in the Old Testament on a number of occasions are likened to an adulterous woman who's sleeping around and is not being faithful to her betrothed. We must keep ourselves clean. We must keep ourselves for our Saviour. Indeed, Paul writing in Ephesians talks about the death of Christ being a work of purification by which he is making his bride, who has been tainted and spoiled through adulterous relationships, is making her pure, is cleansing her, washing her, clothing her, healing her, until eventually she will be the perfect bride, fit for this princely bridegroom.
And so this is a warning to us as Christians. We must keep ourselves from temptation. Temptation that can be likened to this adulterous woman whose lips drip honey and whose speech is smoother than oil. All around us are these temptations to compromise. Just give a little here, take a little there. It'll all be okay. No one will notice. It's just for a moment. It's just a one-night stand. Such words are wormwood. Such words will have you shackled in chains before you have time to blink. We must keep ourselves, guard ourselves, go down a different street if necessary, whatever your particular temptations, weaknesses are. Know them and respond appropriately to them. Avoid the pub if you're prone to drink too much. Avoid the red light district if that's where your temptation lies. Avoid Dick Smith Electronics if you hunger for the latest gadgets. Turn off the computer. Unplug the internet. If your temptation lies there. Basically, you see, what the Father is saying to the Son is, it isn't worth the cost. That cheap thrill will last but a moment and it will leave you with so many regrets. It isn't worth it at all. Paul warns the church in Corinth and other churches elsewhere of this need to be diligent, to not be, to use his term, unequally yoked, to enter into alliances with those who don't share a love for the Lord and a desire to live a holy life pleasing to him. So choose your friends carefully. Be careful where you go and what you see. And where do we then find satisfaction? We find it in the Word of God and through a right relationship with the Saviour. All the hungerings that we have can be satisfied in him. Because he is our all in all. And his satisfaction isn't just for a moment. It's for eternity. He came to give life. An abundant life. A richness of life. A satisfying life. Forever. He can provide you with everything that you need and more if you will entrust yourself to his care and if you will walk in his ways. My son, God says to you, my son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, then you will keep discretion, and your lips will guard knowledge, and these other temptations will have no allurement to you at all. So may God help us then, that we may hear his voice and respond to his call, and the siren voices of the world may go dim and be silenced by him.